the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
He did it. He called his shot.
Now bang. See you later. Left, right, good night.
The Gypsy King rules. This is the State of Combat podcast on CBS Sports with your boy, the Brian Campbell. Instant analysis. Can you hear that in my voice? I don't believe what I saw tonight. I saw a man fly. No, that's not it. I saw the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, do exactly what he said he did. And guess who didn't jack? My boy, yours, my best friend in box, Rafe Boogs, Rafe Bartholomew. Take the first word, one word to describe what we saw this evening.
Unreal, Brian. I didn't jack. I'm here, everybody. I will never jack. Because of Tyson Fury, I will never jack again in my life.
I won't jack. I'll be there till I can't breathe.
It clearly works. Whatever is in the water out there, whatever he was raised on, whatever Gypsy King, Bartley Gorman, Othea Burton blood is pumping through that man's veins, through those genes.
Bartholomew
it is
blood. Bartholomew.
Real. Yeah, I don't have none of that. I have something, but it ain't that. I like what I got, but it ain't that. That was incredible, Brian. I was speechless. I let out non-ironic, real Emmanuel Stewards during that fight in my living room here in suburban Detroit. Yes. Oh my God, look at this. When he started.
Are you talking
moving about in on Wilder after, I mean, the third round knockdown, then the fifth round when he was following up on the knockdown. Brian, it was, you were there, Brian.
I was going to drop a double raygasm on your excitement right here.
The right hook it's, upstairs, Edwards shakes his head.
Look, Rafe, I'm not.
He did it.
I'm
he
not
did
going
it.
Too far
Lampley
here.
Is crying. Lampley is still crying right now.
I don't know what the call was on the broadcast. I know what the call was, like that sound inside of me as this was going down, as I was inside the arena. And by the way, very happy this didn't go to the cards and I had to come on and say I had the draw. When in reality, Rafe, beggars aren't usually allowed to be choosers in boxing media, but they sat us the hell off the floor for that. But I got a taste of that experience. The build, this was the second best fight week I've ever been a part of after Canelo Mayweather. Like, that was just, people forget how great of a fight week that was, by the way. Just, like, high emotions, high happiness, everything. This fight week was amazing, and then for this fight to deliver that, what we didn't see. Rafe, this is folk hero-ish. This is like Paul Bunyan stuff right here. And I mean
yeah.
that. I mean that.
No,
I mean
absolutely. Like, it didn't make sense, Brian. It didn't make sense. Nothing about it looked good this week going in. I didn't believe it because it shouldn't make sense. You shouldn't be able to do what this guy just did.
Is that speak a blue receiver?
But it was the other guy.
You think I care about that guy? Like, here's the thing. When that draw happened in December 2018, I was the guy going, hold up here. Like, they screwed Tyson Fury. But more importantly, Rafe, they screwed the consummation, if you will, the completion of one of the greatest comeback stories in sports history. And I genuinely mean that. And it's not like it really was. But yet, 14 months later, a couple of Schwazes along the way, he not only got that moment, I mean, he just reproduced the Rumble in the Jungle, Rafe. It's not the same circumstances, but it's really not that different either. He shouldn't have done what he did out there. Everything he said, it wasn't a backdoor gypsy trick. It wasn't a deep mind game. He got a new trainer 2 months out. He resurrected the Kronk style, even though did you see that tweet that Manuka of the LA Times put out when they asked to Hitman Tommy Hearns. Whether he believed they could resurrect the – and it by the end of that one-minute conversation, he's like, who? Andy Lee? Who? What? I mean, it was – yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry, we do have sound of it.
Who the hell is that?
All right. Yeah, Rafe. Lost a train of thought. Back to – he shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have been able to do that. But he did everything he said, Rafe. He didn't, like, F around and do herky-jerky defensive stuff. He sat down with a 40-pound weight advantage, landed big right hands, but even more impressive to me was the constant strategy of the Klitschko style. And I usually hate the Klitschko style because it's normally matched with Vladimir Klitschko. Just die. No, don't die. And once he had a lead built, Rafe, he never gave Wilder a window to throw a punch. He's leaning all over him, forearms to the face, all kind of mugging and dirty on the inside. This was masterful. So, you know, going back to the physical side of it, not just the legacy side of, like, what actually took place in there was masterful. It was such a one-sided domination that do you think we're going to find, and I know Wilder, who, by the way, behaved as a champion in defeat, did say something about personal troubles coming in. A lot of people speculating injuries coming in, illnesses, a lot of different things, Rafe. Are we going to find that out later, and then that could change the stakes for the third fight? Or should we just sit back down on the cactus and enjoy it and just say, no, this is Tyson's night?
Oh, this is – No. This is Tyson's night, okay? Even Danny couldn't take this night away from Tyson. This is I that was just a breathtaking performance. The skill of it, the balls of it, I feel like I just watched some Babe Ruth stuff happen. I literally do. Like this is like a movie right now. It's crazy, man.
This ain't Klitschko, yeah. This ain't Berto. This ain't Jorge Cota, Rafe. This is the biggest puncher in boxing history. Now, I don't even know if I believe that, but like it was at that hype level coming in that, hey, wake up. Deontay Wilder's knocked out every single person that entered the ring with him, except Tyson Fury, who had to walk through hell, Luke, to just survive last time. So he wasn't facing, you know, some bum, some Thailand guy, you know, and then to see him, I mean, that level of one-sided domination, Rafe.
Yeah, I mean,
like that really, was like there was like Deontay was never in the fight.
No, I mean, he looked okay for some parts of the first round, but really after the first knockdown, I mean, Fury, and it was he just kept pouring it on him. And it wasn't. I hear you saying Klitschko. I get it, but it was a hybrid of like the Fury smothering style, as well as then, you know, creating some distance and landing that right hand. That knockdown in the fifth where he all of a sudden shifted and planted a straight left into his gut, and that was the thing. The other thing, Wilder, honestly, it didn't. It looked like he wasn't. He never really recovered strongly, and that's because Fury never let him. And he put, and between the weight that he put on him and the leather that he put on him, it just he wasn't going to get an opportunity to come back. But well, his legs were gone throughout. I mean, it was good. Kudos to him for being brave enough to wobble around on those legs for like five rounds. But he was a sitting duck out there for a lot of it.
So much to ask you. I didn't hear the broadcast. I was in the arena. What was going on with Wilder's ears? There was like speculation from the press area that there was like a bleeding air and like a broken eardrum. Did any of that come out in the ear?
He was bleeding from the right ear, probably from that first knockdown, because he turned and tried to get out of the way, but didn't get all the way, and it landed sort of, and the right landed sort of behind. That's why he's complaining it landed behind the head, but he turned into it. So what can you do? But so after that punch, he was bleeding from his left ear pretty much the rest of the fight, and they didn't say anything you know, you couldn't hear anything in the corner about a perforated eardrum or something like that. But that was an assumption that the broadcast made, which is, makes some sense. What blood was coming from the man's ear.
And then, of course, there was the licking moment that I don't know if he actually licked the blood, but just, you know, pantomiming it. The, people loved the crap out of that. In fact, my guy, Ivan Redcock, was even making like, hey, New York Commission jokes. Why don't you go suspend him? But the whole point here, Rafe, is was you break a man's eardrum. There's some equilibrium stuff going on in there. Are you now ready based
the,
on
the
what
balance may never be back.
What we saw tonight, are you ready to come back to the right side of history on Cotto Martinez, round one?
No. The knee was not responding, Brian. It was definitely not responding. I didn't see any blood coming out of sexy Sergio's sexy earlobe. No.
All right. But certainly Wilder never the same after those right hands. It was full validation for the whole angle coming in of feather-fisted hands, because it was interesting. And I don't know what the pay-per-view numbers are going to be, but, like, shout out to ESPN and Fox for finishing that freaking strong, Rafe. Last week, like this week of leading in, like wall to wall coverage. But I thought that Andre Ward had that really cool. Did you see that skit he did where he's in the
breakdown?
Movie theater? Breakdown. He's in the movie theater and he's going ham on that first fight. Him showing where Wilder may have been hurt and the buckling of the legs. It's certainly, you know, they ain't feather fists, but when you add the combination of that kind of muscle and size, I mean, God, it was 24 hours ago that suddenly Teddy Atlas thought Fury was too fat, and champ, you ate 7 to 9 too many of those pies, Rafe. But either way, the dude had a lot of muscle, and he validated yet another thing he often says.
The fat fellas can fight for some reason. All fat people can fight.
He came in as Big John would want him to. He came in as the damn Gypsy King. He was himself. It wasn't about getting slimmer so he could be quicker. It was, yeah, I'm going to, this is the one flaw in his game, really. The lack of finishing power was like the one thing that kind of put him on the same plane, along with the wild card that he could go crazy tomorrow and, you know, take 2 years off.
A little erratic at times.
Yeah, besides that and the 7 times pumping it per day, that stuff, that was his hole, and he filled that hole in the biggest fight of his life. Sorry about that. He filled that hole in the biggest fight of his life and won with that hole. What an a-hole. Like, great a-hole. That guy's amazing, Rafe.
Yeah. But no, it was – look, I don't know if this means necessarily that Tyson Fury is a knockout artist from here on out. It also was brilliant just in doing what no one had dared try do to Deontay Wilder, with at least at any credible level of opponent, right? I mean, unless you want to talk about like Nikolai Firtha or whoever it was back in the day.
Charlie Z got inside on him for a bit.
Yeah, Charlie Z took a shot. But no one was ballsy enough to step to him like that. And obviously you need the skill and the size and everything that Fury brings, the whole pack. Talk about the whole package, Brian. I think Nas, it might sound terrible. I think Nas might have to give the full package to Tyson Fury. He has the full goddamn package. This was the full package, and he unloaded it on Deontay Wilder, and Wilder had no answers. It was a wrap, baby.
Who puts their balls on the line? No, like, jokes aside, that was the big part of the scouting report coming in. All my analysis, if you go back on CBS Sports HQ on this podcast, was like, that could be the key factor. That could be the thing right there.
Yeah. Look, we don't know for sure. We've seen Wilder look like, oh, maybe we had questions about his chin in the past, right? Whether it was the times weirdos knocked him back with jabs, like Eric Molina, you weirdo, Eric, or getting beat up pretty bad in the 7th round against Luis Ortiz and being slightly out on his feet. He didn't seem to have the greatest recuperative abilities, but no one had really done enough to give us a definitive answer, or what felt like a definitive answer. And still, I wouldn't necessarily say that this was definitive. It's just one fight. But Fury took that chance, and, you know, once he got that advantage, you said it, he stepped on it and stayed on it and put his foot on that man's neck and never let him up.
you're not making any kind of weird American History X references here to this fight, are you, Ray?
That was not a foot on the neck, Brian. That was some weird kind of curb stomping. Why are we talking about that crap?
Because I was ready to Remy your ass from Higher Learning. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Right? Take that back.
Don't like remember. Tyson said, I won't. We're not bringing race into this.
All right. The race was to go back and figure out. I mean, we had a pretty good scouting report for how this, like, there's a case this could have been possible, Rafe. But should we have known? Should we have known even more? Is this one of those because of how one-sided it was that you go back and you're like, you know, I said Tyson Fury's got a chance, but I should have known that it could be like this. Unless, again, we find out that Deontay Wilder, had a significant problem that kept
Well, how significant could it have been? What do you expect it to be?
I don't know. What I'm just saying is you never know after that.
And, you got the coronavirus?
And he just wasn't himself. I mean, you're like literally like he just wasn't himself at all. I mean, so you're just trying
to. Was it the beginning of the fight? You saw him land a couple of right hands early. By the way, those were not light right hands. And Fury rolled him a little bit, but they landed too. And Fury just took him. I mean, yo, that man was possessed tonight. And there is almost nothing because. Even if Deontay Wilder, it comes out that there were whatever mitigating factors or supposedly mitigating factors, Fury was the one going into the fight who seemed to have red flags sticking out of his ass. I mean, all over the place.
I was
gaining 20 pounds
all night. Yes.
Going through a last minute trainer change, basically deciding to take on a different style than one he was known for and had been extremely successful for. None of that sounded smart to anyone. And to pull it off. No, this is Tyson's night. This is Fury's night. This is Big John's night.
I'm trying to water my own balls down so I don't come on here and, proclaim, I'm sure he said many a bad thing about my people at some point. It's like, boy, he sent me to hell on my own podcast, Rafe. All right. Anyway, shout out to a lot of people. Shout out to Omaha, Nebraska. Shout out to the Gypsy crew, the Irish crew, the Godinez crew. Shout out to that event. I mean, the undercard was abhorrent as expected, but when it finally,
I forgot it already. I don't care. I no longer care.
When it was time to for this thing to be big. I mean, again, it was a fully. It was an A+, Rafe, okay? From a presentation, from all that. But if Wilder wasn't hurt, because I think that's how you sell a third fight, the big question is he's got 30 days to kick in a trilogy. And you just feel like money-wise it would make a ton of sense for PBC and them. And I also, let's not forget this. Wilder didn't do the post-presser because he was sent to the hospital. But he was upset post-fight about the fight being stopped, and obviously you were just like, oh, damn, this guy's a warrior, right? I don't know if you saw or heard that Jay Diaz, his trainer at the post-press conference, was like, that was Mark Breland's call. I think it was the wrong call. So we got a couple questions in one here, Rafe. First of all, I'm shocked that Jay Diaz said that. Even though, you have the one fighter who could be losing an entire fight, and yes, there was part of me watching that going, is this too good to be true? Is Tyson gonna throw the load at Farmer and then get nailed with something, right? Shout out to Tyson, to Tevin Farmer there. I don't know, Rafe, but do you think we're gonna see a third one this year? Because, I still don't see people playing with the zone. I still don't see those male and female parts, consummating, Rafe, I don't think so. So, if you're Team Wilder and you're in full badass mode, I still could have landed that one punch. Then you probably definitely want an immediate chance once you're healthy, right?
Yeah. I think the answer is yes, but I look at this way differently from, say, last year with Anthony Joshua getting upset by Andy Ruiz, right? Because that was a shocking upset. It was one where AJ clearly had sort of the worst performance possible and appeared to get hit with an equilibrium shot that knocked him off. Unlike the shot that did not hit Sergio Martinez, by the way.
Shout out to Homer.
More importantly, Homer, don't stay out of my DMs, brother. it was clear that I think it was clear that AJ had a path to victory in that rematch, basically by doing what he ended up doing, boxing, moving, never really engaging with Andy Ruiz. And it was helped by Andy Ruiz gaining weight, hanging out at the Downey Pizza Company, hanging out with the Dank City people, doing all the dumb stuff or ill-advised stuff that he did. But still, even if he hadn't done that, I think that the strategy AJ brought into that rematch would have given him a very good chance to beat Andy Ruiz on any night. And I don't see that for Deontay Wilder necessarily in a third Tyson Fury fight. I mean, in the Bartholomew household, Brian, Tyson Fury is 2-0 against Deontay Wilder, and he beat him boxing one time and he knocked him out the second time. And so Deontay Wilder has great power. He can knock anyone out. So he can come into that, to a third fight with that. But besides that, especially, he's never lost before, whatever he's going through psychologically after this fight. And also, Fury coming into a third fight, knowing he can hurt badly and stop Wilder. It's a dangerous third fight to go into. I would look at it almost as a cash out.
Wow, Rafe. I'm still on wow. I'm still on the last wow from the last.
Tell me where the lie is.
I mean, are you asking him to finish? Basically, no. I see where you.
You would do it because he's in his early 30s.
I got it.
That's your best. That's your best money making thing, no matter what. But I don't know if it's a fight you would go into expecting to win.
Here's the deal, though. Okay, Tyson Fury's got so much confidence from this. But let's say they do an immediate third one. Like, Wilder's a knockout threat at any single point. And imagine if he stopped an overconfident Fury, what that would do to open back up the door for this rivalry to become like a never-ending rivalry, because they're sort of so perfect. Like, it's rare that anything goes from a trilogy to a fourth fight. Most times it's unnecessary, like the Vasquez-Marquez. But I guess Pacquiao Marquez is the only one I can think of right now because of the first draw that was one of those weird ones that didn't follow the normal flow of things. Wilder could almost claim back the rivalry, you know, with a knockout there. And it goes to show why this matchup is so good. I just feel like we're going to find out that something. And, you know, even if it's as little, Rafe, as, hey, putting on that extra weight, something we didn't mention, you know, he did go from 212.5 pounds in the last fight to 231 this time. You know, even if they're just leaning back on that as an excuse, he's in this third fight, Rafe. I mean, that's his skill. He's Mariano Rivera, you know, he throws one, and throw him the cutter. Say it. Just say it. Cutter. You know, like that. Remember, you used to do that weird thing. Anyway,
I'm not a Yankees guy, Brian. But look, they can sell a third fight, and Wilder will be live in it because he's live in every fight. His right hand makes that just a fact. But it's risky, and he got hurt real bad in this fight, and I think that Mark Breland made the right decision to throw the towel in, and Kenny Bayless made his only right decision of the night to, you know, heed that concession and go in and stop the fight, because Wilder, it had been a couple of rounds since he had had a moment of looking like he was doing anything but surviving in that fight. He was on very, very weak legs and just taking oncoming fire. And anytime that he wasn't basically shielding himself or trying to avoid getting punched, he looked like he was just about to collapse from exhaustion. I mean, he needed to be saved, and JD's was wrong if he thinks that fight should have gone on.
Did a what's his name get you down the other day? JD's nuts. Mark Breland, you're a real man. Yeah, they were actually if they would have left that go, and you were leaving him in like, when I say super dangerous territory, I don't mean just like to shorten your career, like end your career. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, especially with guys that big, right? I mean, it's dangerous with fighters at any weight, but when one guy is becoming increasingly defenseless and the other man is 270 pounds of Big John Fury blood coming at you. You know, you don't want that. Somebody's going to lose an eyeball.
Wow. 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 What a freaking night. I mean, wow. Rafe, I in the moment, I felt that this was going to be one of those, like, remember I was there, remember where you were type of deals for boxing, because boxing is one of the best sports that gives you that avenue for a great comeback story or a great underdog story or just something so wacky and wild that may not play out as easily in other sports. But even in that, this is like, for this era, like, this is a defining moment. I mean, it's like George Foreman Moore. I mean, it's like, it's one of those, like, oh my God, Rafe.
Yeah. I can't even think of what the best heavyweight performance was before this. What is it, Brian?
So you're saying best performance in a major heavyweight title bout?
Right. It's a heavyweight title fight.
You got to go back a while. Right? I mean, I want to say Fury Klitschko, because I hear Jimmy on what actually happened rather than like, oh, well, it was a crappy fight. And Vlad, you know, Eric Raskin likes to put out that, you know, just Vlad was already on, like, was in Washville. Don't forget, Raskin thinks Loma's washed as well, though.
Look, that was a very good performance. It was a great performance from Fury to do that that night. But this just feels so much bigger with all the coming back, just the narrative of it coming back, you know, from mental illness, from addiction, from being like 450 pounds to the draw in the first fight, to the fact that this fight looked, I didn't think he was going to win this fight. And I thought that he won the first one. I thought that he is the better boxer, but I just didn't like everything going in. I didn't like all the factors that seemed to be aligning against Fury, and it did. And just never, ever, ever doubt that guy again. Whatever he says, believe it. Speak it, believe it, receive it.
And the crazy part about that, and that's true, like I said, there's a magic surrounding him that was reminiscent of Conor McGregor in his original, in his title, first UFC title, climbing the ladder there, where as much as I feel like on any given night he can be the best heavyweight in the world by far, he also plays up and down to his competition so often that it just really makes you doubt and cloud what is possible. So I have to ask myself, that amazing version of him 14 months ago against Wilder, in which I thought he, you know, outboxed him and showed such heart and greatness. Was John Fury right? Was that a almost like heavily compromised man? And now we're seeing how great that man can be if he has someone to motivate him that much.
No, I don't think that. I thought that was a great performance that night, too. It was a really, really, really good performance. I thought he deserved to win. It was amazing to see him pull that off. He walked the tightrope. He fought a different style. And what he may have exposed, at least for him, maybe not for every heavyweight, is that if you can do that to Deontay Wilder, you're better off fighting like that, being aggressive, backing him up, punishing him, than trying to avoid that right hand for 12 rounds, because you're standing at distance trying to get out of the way, eventually you are going to make a mistake. And if you if you make that mistake when Wilder decides to throw his right, you're done. So I don't think every heavyweight can do that. I think you have to be very special, and Tyson Fury is that. But he did it, and like, shoot, man. You take your hat off to the guy. It is.
I'll take my pants off for the guy, Rafe. Right?
Yeah, I'm not even wearing pants. I took them off already. I had to pump it a couple times, more than once.
I can't wait for the whole card, but that fight, like after what just happened there, has got my balls tingling.
He's not wrong.
Well said, Eddie.
All right, Eddie is not wrong. I mean, I see what's going on.
The great Eddie Hearns.
You know,
wrong fighter.
What you're doing by the hot dog truck.
All right. Oh, by the way, Teddy and Stephen A. Smith had another Flip Your Cheeseburger session ahead of this fight. I don't have the sound. It was pretty lame, Rafe.
They literally went back to the flipping cheeseburgers?
No, but they had one of those where it's just like nonsense yelling back and forth. I mean, it certainly wasn't as good as the original.
Fast food? I mean, are you just telling me to make a fast food?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
He made him go in there.
Listen.
And he made him flip cheeseburgers.
Listen.
He made him go in. He made him do something.
Whoa. I don't know if you heard the new one. It's unbearable.
Thank Brian, you. I believe now in flying kangaroos if Tyson Fury says that they're going to fly. I don't care. I believe.
All right. So he would beat AJ. We all know that, Rafe. All right.
We don't necessarily. Look, you have to favor him, but you telling me you don't want to see that fight? You telling me it would not be worth doing? You're telling me it's not worth unifying all four heavyweight belts?
I'm about to tell you this. If that happened, that might be the biggest fight you can make in all of boxing, because I think Tyson Fury, like, became a legitimate household, you know, U.S. megastar with this fight.
Yes, and especially because Canelo doesn't really have any great dance partners right now. He doesn't have anybody who's going to bring in that much interest. Canelo could still be the biggest individual star, arguably, alongside AJ, or maybe now even Fury. But two of them together in a ring, and they're both heavyweights, and you're doing it. You know what would suck is they probably wouldn't do it in the UK. They'd have the biggest UK fight ever. And instead of, at least then they wouldn't break 80K in Wembley, but they would go take like $500 million to do it in Saudi Arabia or somewhere.
Stop that. You're definitely right.
Eddie says it all the time. You know, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, make that money, player.
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter in the end. Like, I'm not like mad at it. It's just like,
I'm not going to beat either one. So yeah, it don't matter to me.
Look at that. Yeah. Wow. 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 I have so many wows, Rafe. I mean, by the way, like, shout out to Deontay Wilder's toughness, his chin, and how much he behaved as a champion in the post-fight presser. Like, I heard in the interview in the ring, I do want to put that out there. Like, that's why I think he wants a third fight. Business-wise, Rafe, they are going to throw themselves at this third fight.
Yeah, well, the one unknown, Brian, and I hope that the fight did well. It seems like it was lined up to do well. The ESPN and Fox obviously had a great final week of promotion, but if it didn't, if it didn't work out, if they didn't get the numbers they wanted out of it, that might also dampen the possibility of a third fight right away.
That is the X factor. That was the talk all last week, on our bonus interview pod last Friday. That was the talk. And, everybody is super excited about that, from Sean Porter to Tim Bradley to Bob Arum. But, everybody was also, of course, like, let's wait. Let's count the receipts first. Let's wait and see, what happens right there. But, wow. How was the broadcast team, Ray, for this, all-star game, if you will?
I cannot effing remember, Brian. The only thing I see is the fight. It's Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. I hear myself, you know, screaming, "Oh my God, look at this!" a few times. That was the call in my head. I don't even remember who interviewed them. Was it Bernardo?
Yeah, I think it was. All right, here's the question I wanted to ask you 6 minutes ago, and then I got lost in my own brain. Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight today.
Yes.
Name the last heavyweight champion who you'd favor over him. Prime versus prime.
It's hard. I mean, I was thinking, I just had to write up some BS about this, and I called him like the at least an all-time great heavyweight talent, right? Because
Max Kellerman, me. You saying talent in that spot is so Max Kellerman.
It's true, though. Look, he's not going to have the resume. He has the two wins, and he is the best of this batch, but he's not around enough to really solidify it. That's fine. I'm willing to call him the talent and say, I don't even know who beats him up.
The journalist.
What? The journalist? Who? Max Kellerman, the journalist.
The talent. Yeah, Max Kellerman, the journalist. Yeah.
Who do you have a good idea?
I'm just trying to do it more from like mythical matchup fun ways. And I'm like, I mean, you're going to have to stop hard at Lennox Lewis and really ask yourself. You know, he really was a complete package. So that's probably and I was going to sort of ask you, you know, who can beat him? So like, we know Wilder could, you know, possibly beat him, but like, what is the style now that we're picking up on that may have the best shot at beating a prime Fury outside of being a 6'5" jacked kind of well-rounded total package of Lennox Lewis? I don't know what you would do to him now.
Well, look, I mean, you go back in time and it wasn't like it is today that there's really only one elite heavyweight can box, and that's Tyson Fury, right? I mean, there was, you know, there was a time when Larry Holmes was alive, when he's still alive, but was fighting, and of course. Yeah, he knows this game. Look, with that jab in Fury's face, and a guy who wouldn't necessarily be so bamboozled by Fury's feints and all that other stuff, it could be a different story. And the same goes for a lot of the more elite boxers of the heavyweight past. But you got to go back to like the 70s. You got to go way back to get there.
Well, what about those top 90s? Blokes, the second greatest.
But yeah, what about prime pre-jail Mike Tyson?
I mean, that's a hell of a sort of mythical Monday matchup. It's probably the
effing get inside on him. He's fast enough that Fury probably can't just run away from him.
I mean, that's
he cuts the ring.
That's let's sit by the fire and pop some edibles and just kind of go to town for about 3 hours and have a debate there. But just straight up more of like an Evander Holyfield, who was like. Small for today's heavyweights. Unreal heart, can brawl, can box, can do a lot of things, but does size just kill that too? Like, because I've never had somebody 6'9 with this skill set. So that's what I'm saying. And then I know anyone could be listening to this and kind of rehab what you just said and say, like, the second greatest heavyweight right now is Deontay Wilder. He would have been like the seventh best in the 1970s. So I get that, but. I'm high on the gypsies right now. I'm sorry.
No, I feel it. Look, with the way he has fought and the way he rises to the occasion, all of this just almost impossible to explain or really, really wrap your head around his ability to do that, to just be better than the man across from him, no matter the situation, sometimes in an ugly way, sometimes in ways that make you think he's worse than he is. But then when he needs it, The bastard shows up, right? And just and doesn't leave a whole lot of doubt either against on the
Dude,
big night.
He has like tell me if this is wrong. Like he has like the okay. We're not gonna know unless he fleshes out this resume. We're not gonna exactly know. It may be more of a Max Kellerman talent question. Story of the fight. Tell me the story of the fight. It may be one of those things, Ray, forever. But I don't know that. I mean, that combination of size and skills, I don't know. I'm losing myself in mid train of thought. He'd compete in any era, Rafe. This guy's a freak. And I think the thing that ultimately he has that we can say is legendary is the mental toughness, like iron will part of it. Like he seemed, even though Wilder showed, going out on a shield levels of like 1960s and 70s, he was a real man, Rafe, like Jeff Horn. But in terms of just this mental, this guy's like an old school warrior. You don't see fighters like that that have that like life and death thing that Tyson Fury has. Like he is the sport, Rafe. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a fighting man. All that's not BS. It's actually true.
Yeah, I mean wherever it comes from, whether you want to believe it comes from. Breeding from the blood that runs through his veins, whether you want to believe it's cultural, whether you want to believe it is just personal, that he is a special individual. He is who he is, and he really has this incredible self-belief and backs it up. It's just and with not just backs it up with guts or balls, but with skill and strategy and talent and different and versatility, winning fights in different ways. I mean, we've now seen him out like do just a pure sort of spoilery defensive draw against Deontay Wilder that a plurality, if not a majority of people thought that he won. Great defensive performance. We've seen him slobber and smother all over Steve Cunningham and Otto Wallin and beat them that way. We've seen him basically stand at distance and beat down Deontay Wilder. It's incredible. Like he's a shapeshifter, man. Forget Anthony Mundine.
Wow. Hey, by the way, shout out to Prince Charles Martin. All right, that's about on paper. That's like the worst pay-per-view co-main event fight ever, and it was a disgrace. And then the fight was largely a disgrace But this guy, Charles Martin, Rafe, who we're ready to just never say his name again, that was a highlight reel knockout of Gerald Washington. That's probably going to get him a title shot in some form.
Or it just will allow him, if Wilder does not go into an immediate rematch with Tyson Fury, he will knock out Prince Charles Martin.
That's a fair point. But shout out to that man, okay? He's a golden god, Prince Sir Charles Martin, yes. All right. Nothing else. I mean, what a bad undercard. It didn't move me. Good weekend with Evan Korn, the corner man. Very in our face, Rafe, okay? Very in our face.
In what way? What does that mean?
You know, it's time to get some big top-ranked names on here. I told him, get me Loma. Let's do this thing. All right? All right?
Does that work on the phone?
I'm going to make it work, okay?
Okay. Ask him about a Thailand guy. Brian, all right.
I have a interview with...
If we're sort of slightly transitioning out of just, like, drooling over Tyson Fury right now, let me ask you, what was it like this week with both of the I can't remember my Shakespeare here, but the Capulets, the Caps of somethings, and the Montagues, with the PBCs and the top ranks, all the stars from both sides wandering around that press room. Was that weird? Was it were guys cordial to each other? Did the corner man shake hands with Tim Smith from PBC? PR man for PR man? Or was it, hey, you stay on your side of the fence and I'll stay on mine?
Everybody thought it was going to be a train wreck, that we couldn't wait to see what show is going to break out. It's going to be Maypac all over again when, like, the fight can almost fall apart because everybody hates each other during fight week. Everyone's touching tips during fight week. Like, I have never heard, you know, when Bob Arum says it to me on camera, it's like, okay, that means something, but still, like, hey, you know, to hear every single person, high or low, connected or not, that has any connection to either of those networks or promotions, be like, this was the easiest week ever in, like, the history of promoting a fight. That's a good thing. That's a super good thing, Rafe. Like, it's, I was like, Bob, really? You and Al? Are you and Uncle Al? I should have been like, hey, Bob, you and Mr. Cancer? And he was just like, no, you know, like, they're glowing reports from both sides, Rafe. So it wasn't just the talent. It was, I mean, I'm sure the talent felt like an all-star game, but everything seemed to flow from what I saw. Like, stupidly well, Rafe. Like, scarily well. Where, like, what the freak would stop us from Crawford Spence? What would stop us? What's going to stop us, Rafe?
Well, I hope nothing stops us. But, you know, that reminds me, though, Brian. One thing that was interesting, this was a huge fight week. Tons of media attention. It would have been an opportune time for somebody to announce a big fight, for somebody to announce, hey, Errol Spence is coming back and he's bringing his back foot game and his seatbelt. Or, hey, Manny Pacquiao is coming back. Hey, Floyd Mayweather is coming back. Hey, somebody, Terrence Crawford is coming back. Hey, Canelo, let's make a fight. No news. Why is there no news this week? Is that not weird to you?
It's a missed opportunity. I didn't think about it until now, but yeah, that's a big time missed opportunity. I didn't see the broadcast again, so I didn't know if they zoomed in on somebody and kind of teased that there'd be a fight, but they did have Spence and Crawford sitting one row apart, Rafe. Did you see this?
I saw that they're both there, but so what? They've been next. We've seen them say hello to each other in concourses before. That's fine. I saw Terrence Crawford talking to Kell Brook too this weekend. I guess. Look, this is boxing. Things don't always happen on schedule. The fights will still happen, and they will just have missed an opportunity to promote them during a big week. But it was, yeah, I think it did make me wonder, oh, damn, does this mean that some of these fights are kind of going to happen further down the line than we're hoping for?
I'd be more optimistic than that. Not further down. Sooner, Rafe.
Okay, that's great. Great to know. Brian, there were a lot of traveling British fans in Las Vegas for this fight, or so it seemed. Did you get any traveler in you?
did you get any traveler in your? No, I didn't. This was like one of the first fights where I did not stay like right in the midst of it on the strip. I basically stayed like off strip almost. So I didn't get that full feel, but any public event, I mean, the amount of Tyson Fury fans was overwhelming. I didn't get any traveler in or in your necessarily, but it was really one. Like I said, best fight week I've experienced since Floyd Canelo, which people forget. We hadn't had a good super fight since like Floyd Oscar before that. So that week just had like that extra kind of crazy, like, oh my God, I forgot what this drug feels like, which, and I think that's why this week felt like that, because from a heavyweight standpoint, it was like, oh my God, I remember what this used to feel like. So, it was incredible. What a freaking week, Rafe. It felt like boxing was back, like really back. You know what I mean? Like fully back.
Well, yeah, when you're in the midst of a great boxing crowd and everyone is telling you boxing is back, I'm sure it feels that way, Brian.
Rafe, love and hate, get it wrong, you know, cut me right back down to size, but I don't want to come back down from this cloud.
Don't, you shouldn't have to. I hope we don't. The cloud that you should never come down from is the admiration for the performance we saw from Tyson Fury tonight. That was for the ages, eloquent. Brian. It was really, really a legendary type performance.
Very eloquent from you there, Rafe. I like that.
That's what I'm all about. That's what I bring. Brian, I was going
to
ask.
Plenty of fight interactions and fighters in the media room. And just to be able to have them from both sides of the tracks, it was very interesting. I saw a lot of like you know, Devin Haney broing out with, you know, famous, like, with everyone. Like, just sort of these interactions, you're like, wow, I wonder what they're talking about. They like to see these guys bro out like that. Tim Bradley and Adrian Broner had this kind of weird sort of face-to-face thing where some people were like, Bradley just called him out for not getting the most out of his career, and it looked like AB was stepping to him, but not really. It was just sort of this weird little thing that everyone ran over. But do you remember that time? I'm trying to compare.
Darren Barker just blew you off.
Yeah, anytime I have awkward moments there, but I may or may not have told Sweet Hands that I think he can beat Canelo. And like that moment inside of Jimmy's corner after Golovkin and Curtis Stevens, when the great Jim Lampley, you know, we basically had our like moment, like our
he is the greatest
1940s movie black and white moment where it's like, he's for real, Jimmy's for real. You're damn right he is. Like that, like, you know, sort of like, you know, it's you and me, kid, like one of those. I had that with Sweet Hands. I was like, you know, I think you could be Canelo, dude. And he was like, I know.
I'm sure he does know. Was it as magical as...
I was like, your wife is smoking. And he was like, I know.
Was it as magical as any of the times?
I was like, Kate Abdo's pretty hot, too. And he was like, I know.
Was it as magical, Brian, as the times that you told Austin Trout that he did beat Canelo and that his wife is also wonderfully good looking?
Wow. A little extra pull there, but tug more than once from you there, Rafe. Wow. So yeah, a couple of Campion moments there. Nothing too crazy.
Let's talk heavyweights a little bit more, Brian.
He's the kryptonite for your ginger friend.
So I hope somebody beats his ass, but you know, other than the times that Triple G did, Brian.
They're looking at that trilogy in the fall. Did you see those?
Yeah, reports? I saw that. Great. Look, make it happen. Make that money. Like, that's good. What else are they gonna do? If it's beating down Triple G or Billy Joe Saunders fights, cool. Let's beat down Triple G. I'm all for that, Brian. I eat steak. I'm a little guy, but I eat steak. I need to eat steak, Brian. I'm trying to ask you a heavyweight question here. Is Usyk out the picture? Are you no longer in love? Do you know? Are you no longer feel?
I was
Is it done?
You weren't going to ask me that. I don't know yet. I don't know, Rafe.
It would be like, helpful if he could have a fight, if he could not get injured for more than
it's like he didn't
a
do anything
few months.
Bad in that last showcase tune-up fight, but he also wasn't, you know, through the roof spectacular. I mean, F it, Rafe. F it. Tell me now. What does it look like, Usyk and Fury? Tell me now. Come on. Tell me right now.
Look, coming off of tonight, there's no way even as someone who really does believe in Usyk as a wonderful, talented, world-class boxer, there's no way I could I could watch tonight's fight and think that with that size disparity and all of the unpredictable wrinkles that Fury can throw at someone, that Usyk would win that fight. I still would want to see it. I still believe, like, Usyk is, his talent is, and his, you know, sort of experience, he will, I want, it's the kind of thing where I want to see how it plays out, but I couldn't favor him going in unless he gets to fight AJ on a mandatory later this year and just wipes him out, like blows him out or something. And then all of a sudden we're reacting to that. We're like, oh my God, wait a minute. Let's go. Let's reassess this. But as things are now, coming off of this performance and just what we know about Tyson Fury, and the size advantage that he will have no matter what, if they ever fought, I just would have to favor Fury.
All right. Well, we asked Al Bundy. He wanted to favor the Russian, but we also got Igus's thoughts.
Prepare your horse for the war. And
Wow. Rafe.
It's going to be a challenge.
He'll. All right. I don't want your thoughts on Navarrete. No. I don't. All right. I mean, he didn't do anything bad either. It's not his fault, but they just, you know, hey, Evan Korn, get a better undercard next time. All right. I love that.
Evan, it's your fault.
Yeah. Oh, him. He's supposed to set up the podcast, with me, Bob, and the Bong. That's coming, Rafe.
Good luck. You better get your weight up before you do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fight week. Those are the moments, Rafe. And okay, then answer the other hard question: can Andy Ruiz fight either Wilder or Fury while still with? I'm sorry, Anthony Joshua while still with DAZN. While still with DAZN, can he fight these guys?
That's interesting. I mean, so there's a few things going on, and you mention this every time, Anthony Joshua is the one fighter who can, on some level, ask out of his DAZN. He's not tied to DAZN contractually. It's sort of assumed that he will. Yeah, I don't got that stuff. So if it does not want, if it needs to be on a service that Anthony Joshua does not have, he could do that. But I still wouldn't consider that likely, because the great Eddie Hearns has a big, you know, has to sort of nurture that relationship with DAZN. Taking AJ off of that platform would be a big, you know, kick in the nuts to them. So I don't know if they're willing to do that, but there's an argument that there will be so much money out there for AJ and Fury that they could get over this. They could figure something out. Someone will take the money. Just take the giant payoff. Like, for example, ESPN, even for the biggest fight in whatever, right, in years, the biggest fight of the year, is not as big to them as a good NFL game that they're going to get ratings on. It just doesn't mean as much to their ratings or their business. It's not as important. So I could see Eddie and DAZN coming up with some system where, okay, these sheiks are going to give us $1 billion for this fight. ESPN, will cut you in for 400 mil just to go away. And then everybody else splits what's left.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see what's actually written.
And granted, these are getting pretty fanciful. These scenarios.
Yeah. that was an 80s action movie. Fanciful. I did like it though, right there. You know, what's funny, Rafe, you know, what's funny. I saw 1917 in the theater last week.
I heard you talking about this in your monologue.
It had like one of those in movie experiences where it's just like, oh, like, you know, where you basically like, this fight tonight for people that hadn't watched heavyweight boxing in a long time. They're like, oh my God, I remember this. This was great. That was me in the theater watching 1917 and just being like
watching Red Dawn all over again.
Yeah. Like, this art form just got me. They just got me. Like, I just had a moment here. Like, pour some water on my screen or something.
The best war film since Saving Private Ryan.
So then when I get in the cab after the movie, all right, to go back, and the man who's driving the cab, just, he happens to be of Indian descent. Not that that matters in the story, but like, it maybe adds to the funny accent. Where he's like, you know, so what are we doing tonight? And I was like, went to the movie. And I'm like, I went on a 5-minute run of like, I basically gave the full Siskel and Ebert like show breakdown. I just brought it and was like, this movie's the best thing ever. And he goes, oh, I have to see that. He goes, you know what actually movie I think is really the best? And I'm like, yeah, well, what do you got? You got any recommendations? He's like, Die Hard. That's a great freaking movie. I was just like, well, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
You could do much worse than Die Hard, shoot.
No, I didn't expect it in that moment like that. I'm like, you know, the Last Emperor or The Pianist. Yeah, okay, I could see him coming out with that, Ray, for Terms of Endearment, you know, whatever, but no. All right. That's it, Ray. That's the show. I got nothing more for you.
Well, then I guess I'm going to have to go to sleep here.
I mean, I could lay awake just to hear you breathing, okay? But
Look, that is my one request for Tyson Fury in the future. Look, Tyson, it is your night. You can do whatever you want. You deserve it. But come on. Can we drop American Pie as the post-fight song? It's lame.
Oh, wow. All right. So you would have preferred this.
Baby, I just don't get it. Do you enjoy
absolutely,
being
man.
I know you smell the perfume, the makeup on
makeup on his shirt.
You don't believe this story.
You know that they're all lies. Yeah.
Stick around.
I just don't know why. If I was your man, baby, you never worry about. Yeah.
If he was like,
or he could just rap, sing his rap to the Irish crew.
Oh, I thought he was going to kind of like serenade Manny Pacquiao and have him come in the ring, and then the two of them together could do, what's that song he did on Kimmel?
Sometimes when you touch,
yes, yes.
The honesty is too much. Or, you know, there's nothing my love can fix for you. You ought to know by now how much I love you.
One thing my hand will stick in is the gloves of clitoris, baby. All right. Hey, that'll
work. And then Bobby comes out.
Yeah. Wow.
Yo.
Relax. All right. That's the show this week at State of Combat at B Campbell CBS. You can hear me. I'm going delirious here at Rafe Boogs. Rafe, thanks for not jacking because Tyson Fury was there till he can't breathe tonight.
I'll never jack, Brian. Never again.
Do you have any words for people?
I do. Left, right, good night. We out.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.